So before we leave and we go out into the fun and laughter of Christmas celebrating together, it's good for us to stop and take a few minutes to think about the real meaning of Christmas and what it's all about. Of course, we know it's all about Jesus, so that special little baby that was born, whose birth we mark on the 25th of December. So this morning, I want to briefly think about the incarnation together, God taking on human flesh. Now, Jesus living for us, we understand that. Jesus dying for us, we get that too. Jesus rising again for us, well, we maybe don't talk about that enough, but that's something we get and we understand. But the incarnation is something we probably are left scratching our heads about. God taking on human flesh, what's that all about? Why is that important? Well, the important doctrine of the incarnation says that Jesus, the eternal second person of the Trinity, took on humanity and he came down and he lived among us, sinful human beings. Jesus, who's fully God and fully man, came down and he was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Fully God, fully man, the Word who became flesh. Now, it's impossible for us to wrap our heads around this mystery. It's a beautiful mystery, but we can't quite get our heads around it. And as it says in Deuteronomy, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So yesterday, Danny spoke to us from Philippians 2, and he gave us a great challenge about how we're called to love each other as Christians. And I'm going to speak from Philippians 2 as well, looking at verses 5 to 11. You know, 3 or 4 months ago, I gave Dan that passage, and I completely forgot that I'd asked Dan to speak on that passage. So we trust that God in his providence and his sovereignty wants to teach us something from this passage. So look at Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, if you've got your Bible. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, this passage, it tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He didn't cling to his rights and privileges as God. He didn't demand to be treated a certain way. Instead, he did something amazing. He volunteered to condescend himself. He volunteered to come down and to dwell among us. He came into the mess, the brokenness, the carnage of the world, and he did that for us. Jesus, the creator God of the universe, he would have every right to be worshipped, to be on a throne, to be served by us, to be served by angels. But that's not what happened. He humbled himself, born in the borrowed stable, as we just sung a moment ago. He came to serve. He came as a servant to serve us in his life, or to serve us in his death. There's a great poem by Glenn Scrivener, and he got this line that says, "The one who was born in a crude wooden box went on to die on a cruel wooden cross." And he did that for you, and he did that for me. Jesus, in humbling himself, he didn't surrender any of his divine attributes, but he did veil his glory. Jesus, he chose not to manifest his glory to all who seen him. But of course, that was only temporary, because we read that right now Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in all his splendor and power and majesty and glory. And he's the one who we go to for life. He's the spring of eternal life. If we drink from him, then we receive life eternal. Isn't it amazing that Jesus would humble himself for us? For his creation, he would humble himself. It's one of those amazing truths. You can take it out of the box and you can look at it from different angles and you become more and more amazed at what Jesus has done for us. And his humility is truly mind-blowing. Just think about what Jesus went through, the humility. He took on human flesh. Jesus, he took on human flesh like us. He could have appeared in as a more glorious being, like an angel or something like that. But no, he took on human flesh. He was born in an obscure, oppressed place. Humbling. He was born into poverty amongst a despised people. He was born as a helpless baby. He needed to depend on others. He had to obey his earthly parents, the creator God of the universe, the one who's in control, the one who makes our hearts beat. He had to submit to his earthly parents. He had to learn the trade of a carpenter. He had to wait. He didn't start his ministry straight away. He had to wait 30 years or so before his public ministry was launched. Now look at his disciples. Look at the people who he chose. People who he hung out with. The people who he spent his time with. Look at the people who followed him. The ones who listened to his stories. Needy people. People who wanted something. Broken people. People who were after something from him. Think about how he allowed himself to be tempted. Think about the human weakness he took on. Hunger and thirst and all these sorts of things. Look at how people treated him. Mocked, abused, scoffed at, beaten, whipped, cursed. Look at how he died. A criminal's death, hanging there on the cross. And think about his Father pouring out his wrath on his own beloved Son. And he did that for us. That's true humility, isn't it? That's just a few things, but we just think about how Jesus humbled himself for us. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, the incarnation, it shows us the sacrificial love of God, doesn't it? Jesus doesn't come to show off his power. He doesn't come to use his power to his own advantage. Instead, he came into the world to redeem us, to set us free. He came to defeat sin, to defeat death. Now, Jesus is the second Adam, isn't he? The first Adam, we read about in Genesis, he leads us into sin and death. But Jesus, he's the second Adam. He is the one who leads us into life. He opened the gates of heaven for us. Amazing, isn't it? Jesus came as a servant. He didn't owe us anything. Jesus owes you nothing. But yet he humbled himself and came down to dwell among us. Jesus came into the world and he lived for us. He died for us and he opened the gates of heaven to us. And he did that for you and he did that for me and for all who trust in him. Now, God isn't a God who is distant and mean. He's one who is near, who is born in a stable, who came among us. God isn't selfish. He gives generously. God doesn't just leave us to our sin. No, he does something about it. He cares and he comes down and he redeems us by his own blood. Now, we've got a God who can't be controlled. He can't be manipulated. He can't be tamed. He can't be put in a box. But he can be known if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas. That's what it's all about. Jesus coming down to dwell among us so that we might have life. He might live for us and die for us so that we can be brought into his family. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We want to remember what God has done for us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came for you and he came for me. The question is, so what? So what? Well, that should lead us to worship, shouldn't it? It should lead us to joy and adoration and praise. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to spend a few minutes having a time of open prayer. And then we're going to sing together. So we're going to pray. Keep your prayer short and loud. If you want to just pray a one-sentence prayer, that's okay. So we'll spend a little bit of time in prayer, a few minutes. And then the praise team will come back and we'll sing a few more songs in praise, reminding ourselves of what Christmas is really about. So Clive, do you want to begin our time of prayer? And we'll just a few minutes, keep your prayers short, and if you feel free to pray, just chip in.